Good afternoon, Wyvern Nation. I'm Senior Airman Brooke Sorensen, also known as DJ Biso, and I am actually joined in the studio right now by Dr. Blakely Pamietto from the University of Maryland Global Campus. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I am doing amazing, even better that I have someone to talk about all the amazing education opportunities with the University of Maryland Global Campus. So can you give me a quick little rundown of what we're going to discuss today?
Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit how UMGC is a partner to the military and particularly the service members who are looking to advance their educational pathways and some of the innovative ways that we are there where the troops are to meet those needs.
I can't wait to dive into it all, but first, more great music right here on AFN Aviano the Eagle, the station serving you, America's best. We're back with Dr. Blakely Pamietto. I want to dive into all the stuff that UMGC offers, but first, can you share a little bit about your background and your role as Chief Academic Officer at the University of Maryland?
Sure. So I think I'll start with a little bit of my background because it's part of what I think enables me to do what I do. So I did not set out in life to be a Chief Academic Officer. I started out with a bachelor's degree in biology and then a master's degree in public health. And at first blush, you might think that has nothing to do with higher education, but actually what I have discovered is that it's enabled me with so many transferable skills, right? You earn a bachelor's degree in biology and you learn about asking questions and how to test and learn and discard things that don't work and keep the things that do and move forward to ask new questions. When I got my master's in public health, it was community health education. So I learned about lesson plans and how to actually listen to the community and meet them where they are, as opposed to come into a community and tell them what they needed to be doing to be healthier. I learned about systems thinking, whether it's like the environment and the ecosystem and how nature is dependent upon nature. That translates also to public health, where people and their health status is an artifact of where they live, what they eat, what they have access to. And all of these things are actually super transferable to higher education. And so as Chief Academic Officer, I am responsible for the academic rigor and quality of all of our courses and degree programs. I am ultimately the accountable person for the quality and engagement of our faculty and the way that they work with our students. And working with all of my colleagues across the university who play a role in helping students find us, enroll with us, succeed with us, and chart a path for the rest of their lives and the way that education can benefit them. And to do that, I have to be able to test and learn, ask questions, replicate things that work and discard things that don't. I have to understand how all of the different systems and teams across the university have to work together to help our students succeed. So it's a sort of non-traditional path, but I wouldn't change a thing. I think it makes me better at my job for all of that.
Amazing. And I know that you do a lot for military personnel. So how do you ensure that military personnel have access to the latest educational technologies and resources, even in like remote or austere environments?
That's a great question. So UMGC has been serving the military since 1949, when we sent the first faculty members overseas to meet troops here on the ground and figure out how could we bring education to them. And this year actually marks our 75th anniversary here in Europe, which is super exciting for us and a major point of pride for us. And our mantra is really, you know, we go where the military goes. That's how committed we are. So over the years, we've learned a lot of things about how to adapt and be there for our service members, for their families, dependents. One of the things that is most important overseas is the various learning formats. So we have face-to-face classes and hybrid classes, but you know, through the course of the pandemic and as we've learned about troop movements and how hard it can sometimes be for students to show up in a classroom, the teams here have actually adapted and created new modalities. So we have what we call virtual classes, where we might have students who are in many different locations from their homes or their offices, and they're connecting into a class via Zoom, where the professor is on Zoom and each of them is in a unique location. We have asynchronous online courses for students who actually cannot commit to a dedicated time for a class meeting because of the nature of what their schedules look like and their other obligations. we do unit classes where we might have, a whole group of students who has a very limited period of time and they want to condense a course into that opportunity. And we will show up and meet those students in whatever location they need for us. And we've actually taught these unit classes in hangars, in maintenance shops, in the gym, wherever they're going to be, our faculty will show up and get the job done. We also moved away from publisher textbooks several years ago because we know that that's added cost, but our courses are 8 weeks or 7 weeks or even 4 weeks long, and sometimes by the time you've shipped your textbook, the student is no longer where they started out. Mm-hmm. And so we've adopted all digital resources, so students don't actually have to go and acquire more materials to support their learning. It's all right there in an online classroom for them. Those are some of the things we've been doing.
I mean, amazing, and I know as a military student, a lot of these resources has helped me personally, so I'm very thankful that, you know, you're able to come out and be where we are. And we're going to be talking more about some of the opportunities with the University of Maryland Global Campus coming up in just a bit. But first, more great music on AFN. And we are continuing to talk about education opportunities with the University of Maryland Global Campus. But I want to ask, what leadership qualities do you think are most important when overseeing education programs with such a diverse and mission-focused audience?
Oh, that's a great question. Resourcefulness. Open-mindedness, active listening, accountability, adaptability and flexibility, innovation and inclusiveness. I choose those things because, you know, our job is to be responsive to the needs of the students here. That means that we have to pay close attention to, you know, who's deploying, who's actually PCSing, who's coming and going, and who's going to be out on an exercise, and that will change their ability to access classes, and immediately be ready to pivot and shift and still show up where the students are going to be. That means maybe being willing to throw out very traditional paradigms about what education looks like and how learning can happen, and developing new ways and creative ways to bring education to the troops. Active listening means that we have to understand what's working and what's not. And sometimes it's observing the students and the faculty and the staff and how successful we're being or not. And other times it's making a deliberate effort to ask students what they need from us. Oftentimes they will provide us insights and make suggestions for things we didn't actually think to offer. And so all of that means that we are always thinking, what else can we do? What can we do differently? And we are willing to do things other universities aren't. And frankly, that's not just a leadership quality. Those are characteristics that permeate the entire workforce at the university. Every member of our faculty, every member of our staff, every member of the leadership has to be willing to embrace those characteristics and operate that way. That's the only way we can do what we do.
Perfect. Now, I know there are so many needs of a diverse community. So how are you addressing the needs of a more diverse military population in terms of academic access and support?
Oh gosh, we are always thinking about new and different ways to do that. So one of our major efforts is really thinking about diversity, equity, and inclusion across the board for all of our students, not just our military students, but also military. We are involving students in designing services. And that means, you know, how do we think about building and designing a course? That means, how are we designing our student portal? How are we creating processes that we want them to use? Having them as design partners in that work is a really important part of inclusion and making sure we understand how different learners are accessing what we do and what they need from us. We are very deliberate about how we approach building learning experiences. We have an online classroom that is kind of the hub for all of our courses. Even if you're taking a hybrid class or a live streaming class, every single class uses an online classroom where all the digital resources are. And there's imagery there, there's reading and videos. Our learning design team is all professionally trained in inclusive design, so that we're always thinking, as we're building that, will our students see themselves reflected back in the learning experience? when we bring faculty on and we are training them to do their work with the university, we specifically talk to them about the importance of sharing of themselves. I think it's a very traditional academic model to think there's a sage on the stage and the faculty member, and what we try to do is think of it as the guide on the side. And that means you can be more authentic as a faculty member than you might have been historically. And we encourage our faculty to talk about the fact that they themselves may be veterans or have family members who were part of the service branches. That means talking about the fact that they too have pets and families and kids, and life happens. That's one of the things. It's not just about the military, it's about serving adults. We know that at best, education is the third priority for most of our students. Work is at the top. Family is second, sometimes that's the opposite order, and a distant third is school. And so helping our students see their faculty as people, that they have those same lived experiences, really can help them feel comfortable signaling when they need help, or in the case of some of our military learners, being able to say, I got an exercise, I'm gonna be deployed, I need an accommodation, I need longer time to send in my assignments. And our faculty are willing to work with them. But we get there because we encourage our faculty to create those relationships with our students by being authentic and sharing of themselves. You know, one of the things we also do is we're very deliberate about hiring people who are either veterans themselves or who are spouses and dependents of military service members. And that gives us additional insight that sometimes our students don't articulate to us, but those members of our workforce can. So that's another dimension. We offer tutoring services. Here in Europe, we have a whole bunch of tutoring services through the faculty, but we also have tutoring services online. We have access to an online writing center, a student portal where students can, you know, self-serve and self-register if they want to, if they can't stop into an education center and talk to one of our staff members. So all of the things that we do as an online university, our students here have access to, in addition to all of the services here actually on the installations. So we're trying to provide as many touch points and as many ways for students to access what they need from us as possible.
That is phenomenal. And I know coming up in a little bit, we are going to be talking about how you gather this feedback, how you're continuing to just improve. But first, more great music on AFN Aviana the Eagle. We are talking all about the amazing education opportunities with the University of Maryland Global Campus, but I want to ask, how does UMGC gather feedback from students and faculty to continue to improve its academic offerings?
We try a lot of different ways to get feedback from our students. First, at the end of every course, we ask students to complete a course evaluation that tells us how they felt about the instructor, how they felt about the materials in the class, you know, how they felt about the overall experience, what we can do better, what things we should make sure we keep doing because they're working really well. That's every class. We do an annual student satisfaction survey, and we're asking students not just about the learning experience, but working with our tuition assistants or financial aid offices, working with the library, all the different kind of service functions that we offer to our students. We deliberately ask feedback, and we try to ask the same questions year over year so that when we get insights from one year that say, gosh, we need to make some improvements here, by asking that same question on the next survey, we can understand, are we actually making improvement? We have regular round tables. Our president actually holds monthly round tables with small groups of students, and it's an open session. It's for them to talk about whatever is on their mind and share their experiences. And what's really wonderful is it can be intimidating to have an audience with the president, but time and again, we find how grateful our students are for the opportunity to just tell us the reality of their experience. And they tell us the good things, and they also tell us, hey, you know, this thing wasn't so great. I would really love if you could help improve that for future students, if not for me. We also have success coaches. Our online model, we have success coaches. We have academic advisors here on all the military installations in Europe, but they all use a system called a CRM, a customer relationship management system. And that allows us to create a record of all of the contact that our employees have with our students. So it doesn't matter if I call the university and talk to someone online, or I walk in here to the Education Center and talk to one of the UMGC staff. Both those people will be able to pull up my record and understand, gosh, you know, how long has Blakely been a student with us? What's the last conversation we had with her about her goals, how her classes are going, what she wants to accomplish next? And so that also allows us to make notes about, gosh, Blakely had this really awesome time with, you know, Professor McGee. She wants to make sure she gets more classes with him. And the next person who talks to Blakely can actually help make that happen. And so this also helps us document maybe where we have improvement opportunities. And I think then just making sure that we're always having regular meetings with the faculty to hear what they hear from students. That's a unique relationship. Students will share things with their faculty sometimes that they won't share with others. And so it's important that we're asking the faculty what they're seeing and experiencing. And then, of course, when I have opportunities, or when other of our senior leaders have opportunities to make visits to all of our different locations, part of those includes very intentional conversations with students, asking them again, you know, what's working, what's not, what can we do better, and really just trying to be as responsive as we can.
And I think that kind of brings me into my next question. I mean, we are in a digital-first environment, so how is UMGC adapting its curriculum to meet the demands of this digital-first environment?
That's a big question, Brooke. So I think the first thing I would say is that by supporting all learning experiences with an online class environment, which we talked about a little bit earlier, you know, that does make sure that wherever the student goes, if they've got access to a computer of some fashion, a computer, a tablet, even in some cases, there are things you can do on your phone. You know, we're trying to make sure that there are digital tools to support learning in your hand. We are, I told you we moved away from textbooks and it's all e-learning resources. We have teams that are using things like social media as ways of messaging students and getting information out to them. We actually ask our students, you know, do you prefer to be emailed by the university, to receive text messages from the university? Do you want us to call you? And for those students who say, yeah, text me, I don't want emails, we can do that for them. There's also, you know, the elephant in the room these days, which is the question about artificial intelligence and where does that come into the whole journey that a learner has. And we're exploring a lot right now at the university about how to use artificial intelligence tools and technologies, whether it is in the form of a chatbot. So when you go to the website, we might be able to help you self-service to find the information that you need without necessarily having to jump on the phone and talk to someone or run into the Ed Center if it's in the middle of the night when you're doing your thing. We are looking at how we can use artificial intelligence tools to help accelerate our ability to bring new learning experiences to the student population. We are thinking about ways that artificial intelligence needs to be a part of the curriculum. I think it's a safe statement that every industry and every job is likely going to, in the future, have to use artificial intelligence in some way. And so all of our portfolio directors and our academic leaders are having those conversations with their faculty. What are you doing in marketing that uses AI, and how do we need to teach our students to use artificial intelligence if they want careers in marketing or in communications or in information technology? It applies to everything. You know, and then there's also the modalities. Again, you know, live streaming relies on a lot of technology. And now that part's not on the student, that's on the university, but it's a key part of the way that, you know, we're using technology to deliver the mission. So it's all over the university.
Perfect. Now, I also wanted to ask, can you kind of like discuss some of the collaborations with military and or industry partners to ensure academic programs remain relevant to military careers and align with the job market demands?
Absolutely. So our starting point for thinking about programs and courses is to look first at what are the jobs that we think people are going to be moving into. And we actually look at market data that says what industries and careers are growing and contracting. And then we start to dig in, and there are tools like the Bureau of Labor Statistics or platforms like Lightcast and EMSI, Burning Glass, others that actually show us what are the skills and the tasks in these job descriptions. They're scraping all of these job postings that you can find online and distilling that down and helping us hone in on, gosh, I want to be a strategic communications specialist. Here are the skill sets that we're seeing today employers are looking for. And that helps us to focus how we build a curriculum, because we've got our eye first on what's the job, what are the skills. Then we bring together industry representatives and start talking about, okay, we know we want to offer this program. Each one of our schools, and we have three at the university, we have a School of Business, a School of Cybersecurity and Information Technology, and a School of Integrative and Professional Studies. Each one is assembling industry advisory boards to help provide input to us, both the readiness of the students that they hire from the university, but also where they see their fields going and how we can stay on, you know, really the front edge or the leading edge of ensuring our curricula are up to date and responsive to those careers and industries using that feedback. We have a very large contingent of adjunct faculty at the university who are practitioners in their fields. And that means their primary day-to-day job is full-time working in the industry that they then teach for our students. And that's another mechanism where they are saying, gosh, we need to change this resource. We need to change this assessment. Here's how I'm seeing the field change just in my own job. And that adds a whole nother dimension of richness. It also means those faculty members can bring the day-to-day lived experience on the job into the learning experience for our students. So they can translate what might seem theoretical from the readings or the assignments into something very practical and applied that's happening right now today in the workplace. We also, of course, have all of these partnerships with the military. I mentioned earlier that we have been overseas here in Europe since 1949, and just a few years later, we started work in Asia as well. We have three different contracts with the Department of Defense to be here on the ground serving the military communities in Asia, in Europe, and then the CENTCOM contract. When we are offered those opportunities, it's a process that involves the military telling us, here are the programs we know that our troops are going to need access to. We want you to bring those to the table for us. And so just right there, they're signaling this is the direction of where training and education needs to go for the future of our country. And then we have all kinds of partnerships with industry representatives. So we work with education partners and Fortune 500 companies who are investing in employee development. And they come and say, look, I've got a whole workforce and I need them to have skills in these particular areas. And they ask us to help build new things or to curate particular learning experiences for them based on where their businesses are going. So again, it's multiple channels of listening, looking at a lot of the different data and making sure that that is not a one and done. It is a constant process of infusing what's happening in the field and how do we make that part of what we're teaching our students every single day.
Perfect. And I know we are getting close to the end of our interview, but don't worry, we're going to come back, talk about some final thoughts and some little bits of advice that we want to share. But first, more great music. We are wrapping up with the University of Maryland Global Campus, but I want to ask a question first. Before we get into our final thoughts, what advice would you give to prospective students who are considering enrolling at the university?
So, because of our multiple modalities, the first thing I would say is it doesn't matter where in the world you are or how often you are moving around the world, we can be a continuous learning partner for you. We can be there on the ground wherever you are, and we can meet you online when you can't do something face to face. That's really important for serving adult learners, because we talked about this. There can be so much happening in their lives, whether it is having to change locations, juggle family responsibilities. And so knowing that they can continue their studies and change modalities at any point in time based on what's happening, that's a huge thing. And most universities don't offer that. We have, because we are so deeply entrenched in working with the military, and that is part of our identity and our organizational DNA, we actually have all kinds of policies and dedicated teams who work with our service members and their families to make sure that we understand how to be supportive in this context. We are here where the troops are, but again, we're also hiring people who are coming out of the military backgrounds, and that means we understand authentically the lived experience of a service member, of the spouses and dependents, and what that really means. We have all these different learning formats. It's not just about accessing when you can, where you can, but it's also about what's preferable. One of the things I hear from students, even this week while I've been here in Italy, the great conversations I'm having with students who talk about, well, this is why I like to come to a face-to-face class, and this is what I get out of that that is different than when I get, you know, the experience that I have online. The opportunity for choice, I think, is empowering for learners, and that's part of the value of education. And maybe lastly, I would say we have 75 years of experience doing this work and doing it with the military. And I don't think there is another university in the world who can say that the sun never sets on their university and that where the troops go, they go. And so we really truly understand what it means to meet the learners where they are.
Amazing. Now, as we wrap up, is there anything else you would like to leave our listeners with today?
I think, especially because we work so much with adults, it's important to me to always remind people it's never too late to start, and it's never too late to finish. So many of our students, the majority of them, either didn't think that education was for them, or they started down that path and then other circumstances in life sent them in a different direction. And we are built to serve those students. We don't have residence halls. We don't have a traditional kind of campus environment. We are truly committed to helping the students who cannot avail themselves of those learning opportunities. And that is a point of pride and a mission commitment that permeates every single member of the UMGC community. And we are so proud to see our students embrace the opportunity and for us to help them take charge of their lives and their educational journeys.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. It was a pleasure to have you and learn all about the University of Maryland.
Thanks for the opportunity, Brooke.
I'm just going to say to all the listeners out there, too, it's never too late to start your education. Swing by your local education center to maybe see what classes are available in your area.